274, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you. We are going to recap and talk all about the meetup from Indy this weekend and the game as well. A lot of excitement, a lot of disappointment. There was a lot to process. It took us a couple days to get home, settled in, and sort of gather our thoughts about this championship weekend. So here it is, finally a couple days late. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Washoe Walk-Ons fans, episode 274 of the podcast. And before we get into any of the bad things, I just want to tell you guys how much gratitude I have, and I'm sure the other two of these guys have, for everybody that showed up on Saturday to see us. It feels weird to even say that. Like, you guys showed up in droves just to hang with us for a little bit and like tell us how much you enjoyed the podcast and like give us words of encouragement to just keep going and like not listen to any of the hate and like understand how much we're cared about by so many people. And for a long time, I hid behind this computer screen and just talk shit. And I was very comfortable being a long ways away from anybody who listened because I didn't necessarily want to deal with the issues that some people are going to have with my words. But here I come to find out that there was nobody that had an ill word to say. And they were all, you all were all just extremely grateful that we were there. And so, like I said, I'm humbled. Like the amount of gratitude that I have for you guys, like our true fans, it's unbelievable. Guys, what do you have?
Maybe my internet's fucked up, which is really fucked because I just upgraded my internet, doubled the speed. Come on. I'm trying to not be Jake Gervais, right? And speaking of, let's just talk about him, because did you guys see
him and Cooper Kupp are the same person?
Jesus Christ. I mean, they look
identical or what?
Identical.
Oh, yeah, literally. Yeah.
So now I know why they keep him around.
Like, if you're a lawyer and your client is being put in a lineup and the victim has to pick you out of a lineup, if he could find people that look like that identical, there's just no way you're getting off scot-free or whatever.
Like if this weekend would have gone differently and Drake would have had to kill somebody at our meetup, you know, that could have find somebody different and let them take the fall. I'm not going to gloss over the meetup, but I do think that is why the Rams keep Jake around, is so that they can have him do Cooper's public appearances. Now, what Drake said there in the intro was echoed by me. Kevin can say his words about it, and maybe we'll run through a little bit of it for those that weren't able to make it, because there were a lot of you I've seen in the Discord or hit me up on the DMs or just straight up tweeted it at us that said, damn, I'm so sorry. Like, you guys were apologizing for missing it. It's like, don't apologize. Like, everything that you've done already, just tuning into us three dumbasses on these microphones for however long that you individually have tuned in is plenty. But it was a wild, wild scene on Saturday. And I think it was one that I know Drake had anxiety about and I had anxiety about as it got closer and closer. I wanted it to go well. But also, I realized Friday driving to Indianapolis that I work from home. My wife and I don't have like a ton of friends that we hang out with on a normal basis. It's COVID for the last couple of years, so no one's doing a whole lot anyway. And I realize I don't really get a whole lot of human interaction. And I know Drake doesn't either. Kevin, on the other hand, he's out selling shit. He's in hospitals. He's, you know, shaking babies, kissing hands, and he's good with people. But Drake and I, that's another story.
I've actually been told I'm terrible with people in certain instances.
I just think it was hilarious, Drake, how you actually felt the need. Like, you were genuinely concerned that someone was going to come to this thing just to talk shit to you.
Yeah, I genuinely thought that I was going to have a a bad interaction where I was going to be put in handcuffs. Genuinely 150% yes.
And with as much shit as you've said, that maybe that's warranted, you know. But
yeah,
again, it went, I wouldn't say it went 100% perfect, because the bar was
I thought it was perfect, man.
It could have been set up better by us, but well,
screw being in a bar, man. Screw being in a bar. We got to be outside in the beautiful air. We got to be have as much space as we wanted. It couldn't have been better.
It was amazing. And we got to do the radio show. Kevin and Drake got to come on and do a little radio action, which is what I've been doing all season. They provided a little insight to the 600 WMT station from Cedar Rapids. Appreciate you guys doing that. And we basically got a flag hung up. We put the boxes on a table, and you crazy bastards just started lining up to see our three ugly mugs. What is going on? Like, Kevin, what did you feel from this weekend?
Dude, I told you guys like at lunch before we went to the bars, like I'm expecting to like talk to maybe 20 people for a little bit, and you know, this 3-hour thing is not going to last 3 hours, and I'm going to be able to drink and watch the SEC game. That was my plan. No, it was really cool to see how many of you guys showed up, just, you know, shake our hand, grab a picture, just tell us how much you like the podcast, man. That was really cool, man. I appreciate every one of you guys. It was a really awesome experience. My girlfriend, she actually said to me, he's like, Kevin, you have to stop downplaying the podcast, because like, you know, that's what we do. It's like, he's like, ah, yeah, you know, I just get on and talk to my buddies for a couple hours. She's like, no, Kevin, you were talking to fans for 2 hours nonstop of people just coming through and signing autographs. I'm like, that's incredible. I was like, well, we got awesome fans, and it was awesome for all you guys, all your feedback. For you guys saying that you appreciate what we do. We appreciate you guys, man. You, like I told every one of you, the fans, you guys won't make this fun. It's never been about the money for us. It's been about being able to, you know, talk about Iowa football, which we love, which has been so good to us. And then it's just become so fun to do this with you two guys, and the fans. You guys are what make it possible.
And if I didn't cry after the Penn State episode or whatever I did that, there may be some here, but I'm all out, fresh out. So anybody who wants the emotion, you're not going to get it. But this is one of those things that was very emotional. It was one of the most stimulating days of my life, because I started it with a workout. I went and saw like these CrossFit people. I'm not going to get into that, but it was like the morning I had was insane. For me,
Kluver met Sean Johnson and he couldn't believe it.
No. Couldn't give. Well, I don't want to disrespect. I don't care about Sean Johnson. Her husband was a long snapper for Vanderbilt. I met him. He thought I was cool. And like, we texted each other. He was going to come to the meetup. And Sean was like, you know that we can't do that, because then it becomes about me, right? Like, Sean can't go anywhere, right? But I worked out with Sean Johnson's husband and Noah Olson, who's like a top 10 CrossFit guy for the last decade. That was the start of my morning. Then we went and ate lunch. And I don't want to skip over this part. We went and ate lunch. It was a good little lunch. We ate at Pier 48, Fish House.
Whoever bought our appetizer was a freaking legend.
Someone noticed us.
Noticed us and bought an appetizer. And to you, fine, fine people, we want to say thank you, because that was just unnecessary, but truly appreciated, because we know how heartfelt it was.
And that was when I kind of looked at you two and I was like, I told you, I think this is going to be bigger than we kind of know what this is going to turn into. Like, this is going to be something. And I want to make sure we touch on this. And this is why I thought we were going to win the game, okay? Because my life, everything was happening right. First of all, on Friday, when my brothers and wife and myself drove in, we went to Chick-fil-A in somewhere in Davenport in the Quad Cities. We got an extra box of chicken nuggets. Okay, so that's the first, we got an extra free box of nugs, and that's a great way to start off a weekend. Okay, smacked some delicious Chick-fil-A. Then we go, someone buys our appetizer. Okay, we walk back to the hotel to grab the boxes of merch, which, by the way, you crazies, you bought it all. There's none left. Okay, so
We got overnight merch.
Yeah.
Hot off the press, and you guys bought it all out.
Unbelievable. And just like, you know, you guys remember, we'd come up out of the stadium from Kinnick and everyone's standing there at the gate, like, you know, sign the stuff. We signed more autographs on Saturday than us three combined for 5 years total. I mean,
insane. Yeah,
who would have ever guessed that we were more sought after for an autograph after we were done playing as a fullback, a long snapper, and a special teams guy? I mean, what the fuck is going on, right?
My girlfriend, she came up with a funny idea. It's like, you know, we should charge $50 for a flag. And, you know, because I always like make the self.
And $40 for a signed flag?
$45 for a signed flag.
I love it. I love it. But the best part of the day, and definitely once the game happened, if the Hawks would have won, that would have been the best. But you boys know where I'm going with this. On the way from the hotel to the bar, we're carrying the boxes of merch.
This was one of the all-time moments. I mean, my heart almost exploded.
Yeah, mine's still almost exploding.
I was crying, ladies and gentlemen. Just to preface this story, I cried.
So we're about halfway between the bar and the hotel. It was a four-block walk, right? Four or five blocks. And I see this guy, head down, black hat, black jacket, black sweats. And I'm like, I know that guy. I know how he walks. When you spend 5 years with a guy every single day, you know how he moves and what he looks like. And he's keeping his head down and he's kind of wearing some team issued, like, nice Nike shit.
And then what did you see? You saw the psychopath drop all his merch.
And I dropped the box. You dropped the box. And I said, Seth fucking Wallace. And what do you know? It's Seth Wallace. And he pokes his head up.
I attacked him.
Yep. Drake attacked him, gave him the biggest hug. If you guys saw the clip of Gardner Minshew hugging his dad, it was the same type of hugs that all three of us gave Coach Seth Wallace. He was out on a walk, told a hilarious story about Coach Parker in the 5 minutes that we got to stand there and talk to him. But he was out, I assume, before team meal. This was at like 2:30, and the team meal would have been at like 4 o'clock. So, and I've never been happier, dude. I've never been happier. Like, seeing his face and just like, I was, you know, just talking to him, like, are we, you know, obviously we didn't win, but I was like, are we going to win this motherfucker? He's like, fuck yeah. And like, he was trying to stay chill, but man. And Drake, you were like so surprised within yourself of how happy that interaction made you.
No, like, no. I knew 100% it was going to make me that happy. Like, I've had, because like, those people mean so much to my life, my development, the entire track in which the future, my entire future goes. Like, what happened between those walls for 5 years is like what developed me into a man and is what is going to lead me for the rest of my life. And then a lot of those people were there for me in the darkest moments after my career. So like, the relationship I have with those guys is much more than just a coach player relationship, and haven't seen them in a while, man.
A while. The last time Kevin and I saw him would have been this summer. I don't even know if I, or maybe Kids Day, I talked to him, but man, not in that intimate setting where it's just us three. And he was like, I think he was kind of like, holy shit, these three are exactly the same. Like, they've got boxes of merch. They're going down to a bar. It's like, what are you doing? Selling t-shirts? I'm like, fuck yeah. man, it was so awesome to see him. And it made me miss being on the inside so bad. Just getting to be around. I say it all the time. Like, as a former guy, you get asked a lot. Like, the question is always, what do you miss the most? And it's the people, but it's because everybody in that organization, despite the result on Saturday, is an elite person trying to be even more elite and just be an elite human, right? As a performer. There's no normal average people who step into that facility on a daily basis and make it for 3, 4, 5 years or stick around as a coach for 3, 4, 5 years or longer. And so when you're around that environment of people who are, talk about dedication, talk about work ethic, talk about intelligence, you're at the tip top of it all around. And then you come into the real world where there's some of those people. I'm sure Kevin's met a few of those people in his job. You know, Drake sought out a top gym of performers in jiu-jitsu, I quite honestly lack elite people in my life other than the two I'm talking to right now, a few others in our text group, and that's about it. Like, it's a gap, right? Like, you always hear, if you want to be, show me the five people you hang out with and I'll show you who you become. If you're around five elite people all the time, you're all just going to raise each other up. And so Seth Wallace is one of those elite people. He even then texted us after and was like, he thanked us for coming. Like, thank us for coming.
What? Thanks for making it, man. Yeah, thanks for coaching a 10-2 football team. Thanks for coaching one of the best defenses that Iowa's ever had.
Thanks for getting your fucking pads down, man. I mean, come on. You don't have to thank us for shit. And it's just relationships are a really fun thing when you have awesome people in your life like that. So at that point, I thought Michigan has no fucking chance. That's a lie. I knew that they always had a chance.
After our meetup, when everything, we had all the energy, man, there's no way that at the Fan Expo Center, each team had their meetup, but that was equal, right? We were the plus one to the Iowa football team. And I was like, you know what? All this energy, all these people, just like this, the energy at our thing was infectious, dude. And like Iowa fans everywhere they go, the energy is just palpable.
Yeah.
And, everything was pointing towards positive, including how the game started until it wasn't.
Yeah. We'll take a quick break because people like when we do the breaks.
Just before we get into the game and stuff and take a break, I just want to say thanks again to everyone that came out. And, you know, I almost want to apologize that we only got like 30 seconds or more.
Yeah, for real.
With each of you.
That's why we got to set up more of those.
Right. We want to do another something like that. Just say thank you to you guys. Get to spend more time with you and actually get to talk and get to know some of y'all than just 30 seconds for a handshake and a photo, man. We appreciate all of you so much.
Yeah. So that's the meetup recap, which probably deserves more than 20 minutes, but that's what it's going to get. When we come back, we'll talk a little game. So the game went bad.
So here's this, man. The game, after the game, I hear a whole lot, deafening amount of fire Brian Ferentz. And I don't even want to speak to it. I want you guys to speak to it, because both of you guys were the ones who very, very clearly during the game, while the game was being played, were like, well, if anybody says fire Brian Ferentz, they're fucking dumb. Okay, so I'm just going to leave it at that, and I'll let you guys take over from there.
And I almost feel the same way, Drake, because I've been sort of dreading this part of the conversation tonight. I want to preface this by saying that Brian is the head of the offense. Kevin and I talked a little bit about this before we came on. Brian is the head of the offense. So regardless of what the issues are on the offense, yes, it does come back to the OC, right? Whether it's execution or whether it's play calling or whether it's personnel, those are all going to come back to the coaches, the OC at some point, right? I like a little better. If you want to fire Brian or you're upset with Brian because he hasn't done his job of getting the right people on the field or getting the people that are on the field, he hasn't done well enough to get them to execute. I like that path a little better. I don't like the path of our offense didn't play good, fire Brian Ferentz because we're calling the wrong plays. And here's why I don't like that. And it's not even necessary black or white, because there are some bad play calls, especially in the second half. Granted, after 21-3, I'm not sure you can really evaluate anything. It was like, try to get these boys out of the stadium.
Are you speaking to the second half, just not abandoning play action soon enough or something?
I'm just saying, like, yeah, like there were some times in the second half where we're maybe giving up a little too early or stuff like that. But also when you're getting your dicks kicked in, right? Fans on the couch, you tell me what we call on 3rd and 15, right? When we're down 35, what do you call? I don't know. There's nothing in the playbook for that. But in the first half, is specifically in the first couple drives, right? I thought that, again, and Drake has said it in this way multiple times this year, with what we're working with, for an offensive line. And I would go as far to say the cohesion between our quarterback, the line, and our skill players, because that's another element here. It's not the greatest, right? There's not a lot of, and I can't put a finger on it, but I'll just call it the 2015-ness of what we had. CJ at quarterback, those running backs, the, you know, our tight, you know, the line, even though we didn't have as good of skill players as this year, we were all so tight and we just played as one. It was like call it the swarm, dude. We were out there as one unit. It feels like at times this offense has been multiple units trying to play together on the same side of the ball. I know for a fact, especially during the game, that everybody at home did not rewind on every single play after it happened 11 times to make sure that each of the 11 guys did their job. And that would be impressive even if you did it once, because you don't necessarily know what that guy's job is sitting there on the couch. So it's hard to get on Twitter and then say that was a bad play call. That's just truth. If you haven't evaluated all 11 guys, how they performed on that single play, whether they executed or not, also took into account like what the defense gave you, right? There's so much more than just, wow, that was bad, right? Occasionally, every once in a while, you can say, okay, we probably should have gone a different direction in general.
And like, I'll be honest, we shouldn't have had a very outside zone run heavy offense. Like that we For tried. Sure. And I guess that's the theory behind football, is like you have to try and you have to give the defense a lot of things to think about. And you can't just say, okay, well, you're good at this, so I'm not going to do this, because then the defense just keys on everything else. And I understand the idea behind trying to run the outside zone, but we just simply don't have a good enough front yeah. to both get lateral and north and south movement against a defensive line that just had us so substantial. That's what I said in our Discord, man. I basically put it like that. I said, you have to go and just look purely at the two lineups that were on the field, the 11 players that were on the field playing defense for Michigan and the 11 players playing on offense for Iowa. And like, we can have that discussion that's the coach's fault. That is recruiting. And we don't have good enough recruits to play with those absolute blue bloods. And that you can have the discussion that's on the coaching staff, because that's who recruits these players. But at the end of the day, we were in the Big Ten championship lined up against a defense who you wait and see how many of those guys play on Sundays. And on top of that, wait and see where some of them get drafted. Okay. Those were the guys that were out there absolutely abusing the outside of our offensive line. And you know what, man? As an offensive coordinator, as a coach, you just put out the absolute best you have. You put your guys out there and you say, we're going to go and we're going to do what we do. And when the 60 minutes is up, we're going to look up and see who comes out best, right? Like, you just got to put your head down, go to work, and believe in yourselves. And early, man, we did a damn good job playing with our 11 against their 11, because I think our coaches put us in a pretty advantageous place until they couldn't because the circumstances.
Kevin, I'm going to let you talk, but I have a few thoughts.
Well, I mean, what do you want me talking about? Which direction are we going? You can start off by saying, first and foremost, our offensive line was just clearly, unequivocally outmatched versus their defensive line. There was no movement in the run game, and pass protection was poor.
And actually,
not horrible. You know, they had some horrible plays, but overall, I'd say poor. You know, I give them a D grade on the day. And that wasn't just the offensive line. I thought the backs did not do a good job of blocking either.
And by the way, Kevin was literally rewatching these reps as we got onto the podcast, so he has watched these back.
Yeah.
And and we'll call a spade a spade. Tyler Goodson made some really bad cuts. We can't say why. And we can't say why he made bad cuts. Did he make bad cuts because he didn't trust the offensive line in front of him against the front of defense of Michigan? Very likely.
That would be my guess.
Did Tyler Goodson feel like he was going to have to make a little bit of shit happen in really bad situations? He probably did. But let's just call a spade, man. He missed a few cuts. He made a few bad cuts. We really didn't have anything more than a 2-yard run game. That's just right. What we were going to be able to provide.
And I said this to you in the game. You know, he was looking to bounce it a little bit early, it seemed. And there was just no bouncing it versus, you know, their ends versus our tackles. There's nowhere to bounce it. So we started seeing this a little bit, you know, about a quarter, half into the game. Just stick your head in there and get 3 yards. It's not great.
Yeah, Kevin, that was your quote of the night. I think you said that more than anything other than maybe motherfucker. You and Phil
are quite similar. Raising money for the kids on the F-bomb on Saturday night, Kevin owes the kids a couple of Benjis.
There they are. I was going to say, Kevin said a lot, just like as the play would happen, bury your head, get three, bury your head, dive in there, just get something.
Right, because, you know, we can't be – 2nd and 11, 3rd and 12 versus this team, they'll eat us alive. You know, 2nd and 7, 3rd and 5, we got a chance. But, you know, the bouncing it around and that just wasn't going to happen. Wasn't going to work. Yeah, I thought he looked to bounce the ball a little early. And I can understand it. Maybe trying to make something happen. You see 2 yards in front of you, you know, and that's pretty much all you're going to get. I don't know. I didn't play running back. But, you know, back to the Brian Ferentz thing. Despite that, we were able to move the ball.
Yeah.
Early in the game. And I thought there were some really good play calls. There was some really good play action that.
Like, do we want to
kind of put them at a disadvantage for the defense that they've run? They adjusted to it in the second half. They started just going straight upfield at the quarterback, not really giving us a chance to roll out. And, you know, because there was no run game to keep them honest. But we were moving the ball, and, you know, you just look at that first drive, little halfback toss.
That's a touchdown on play calling.
We catch that ball. It's a completely different ball game. You can look at that first quarter down to three plays if they happen differently. The entire game changes. My one thing about that play is, why are we throwing it to a fullback, not a tight end? I asked Drake, I don't know, maybe it's because we think we have 21 personnel. That's 2 backs, 1 tight end, that we get the look that we want for that play. That could possibly be it. But
that's going to be my guess, is that if you put Laporta there, they're going to key Laporta with a corner because they know how we use a wing tight end.
Yep.
But when you put Mullet in a neck roll in a spot where they have yet, well, because be honest, man, we have a lot of film this year of Monty lined up at the wing. And every single time we run outside zone at Monty so that he can get on the alley player further up. Because as we found, Monty isn't as amazing in space. If you can close the amount of distance Monty has to cover when he blocks, the kid is an All-American. If you have to put him in space, he's just not quite as good. And that's just calling another spade a spade, man. I love Monty and he's a fantastic fullback in space, not as amazing. So they put him at the wing. Boom, we run outside zone. I haven't really seen us run inside zone or come back to run wham or anything with that at the wing. That would be sweet, though. But every single time on film, Michigan knows 38 lines up at the wing. Oh, they're running outside at us. He faked the block. Boom, slipped up
runs,
field.
Runs it's right the, past it, the guy. He's wide open. You know, the pass may be a little long, but the guy keeps his feet. It's a touchdown.
Got to keep running.
Completely changes the game right there.
By the way, fuck everybody on Twitter.
Down the field, if the Hawks go up 7-0, 3 and out, march down the field, touchdown, completely different ball game. Completely different ball game. And then you can look to like 3 plays later, Michigan's got the ball.
How about 1 play later when Shudak misses the fucking field goal? At that point, I was like, we're done. We're toast.
Yeah, exactly.
Because if we miss,
just make the field goal.
If Shudak's missing field goals and Shudi, I don't know what went wrong. I'd love to see the film from behind. It seemed to be a good snap, good hold. So I think you just pushed it a little bit.
Yeah, and that's just a real shot to your balls to start off the game, you know.
And the team's confidence,
you know,
right?
As Iowa, you know that points are going to be a premium. And to just come out of there with nothing, just really a kick to the nads.
Especially when there's some confidence factor in your special teams where, okay, we've heard it all year. We know this is true. Our special teams guys, they're our rock. And a potential up to that point, Luke Rosa level kicker comes in a dome and misses a 35 yarder.
33.
man, the rest of the guys on the team don't feel good about that. Everybody, it's superstition, but everybody gets a 1%, 2% feeling of, oh shit, is that the kind of night we're going to have? Yeah. And that leaks
I mean, it's better than a 3-and-out on our side for sure, but it really feels bad. You go out next drive, Michigan pops off a 67-yard run. I rewatched it. I think Jack Campbell was in the wrong gap, and that's why they were able to knife us. And then Jamari Harris hops inside, and then it's off to the races. So
tough day for Jamari.
You know, coming out with 0 points out of that drive hurt, followed by the touchdown, you know, 7-0 sucks. Really fucking hurts. Really fucking hurts. And I'll just go back to why we were kicking the field goal in the first place. It was 3rd and 5 from like the 15 or something like that. And I didn't love the play call. We just kind of ran a halfback inside zone. I don't know if they're playing for two plays there, but nothing was happening. We get tackled for like a 5-yard loss. That could be the difference in a made field goal or not. I don't know. All this shit adds up some way or another. It's you lose your mind trying to keep track of it. This happens. You know, it's all just a web of what happens.
And I'm glad you point out there, Kev, because there's going to be people. I already got tagged as people were having these Brian conversations on Twitter about how, well, can't wait for the walk-ons to just suck Brian's dick, yada, yada. They'll say he's perfect and doesn't. We are not in any shape or form saying that Brian is perfect. We fully acknowledge that Brian,
I just told you that I thought he ran way too much outside zone, and he didn't abandon the play action nearly soon enough because his quarterbacks weren't having any success getting defensive ends to bite down the line of scrimmage. They were running down his throat, ready to break Spencer's ribs before he even got his head turned around on play action.
Right. So, and if you look
you kind of mentioned in the beginning of this, what we're kind of breaking down here is he's the OC. He's the head of offense. The fact that they scored 3 points, at the end of the day, it all comes down to him.
Yep.
Just like KF's the head coach. If, you know, if they only won 4 games this year, that's on him. You can blame the players that didn't play well, missed assignments, whatever, yada, yada, yada. We believe in extreme ownership at the University of Iowa. And at the end of the day, every guy in that room should say, it's on me, it's on me, it's on me. Coaches say, no, that's on me, it's on me. Everyone's got to own the fact that we put 3 points on the board that day. Offense, defense, and special teams.
And I guarantee you, if you ask Brian, he would tell you that.
Yeah.
He would stand there. He would stand there in front of a bunch of, and I'm not saying that a lot of them listen to our podcasts, but there's a bunch of cowards out there that are just, again, spout off those emotionally based, I get it, you're a fan, but emotionally based, no facts behind it, statement of Brian Ferentz is the worst OC, he should be fired, fuck him, all this stuff. And Brian would stand in front of you, tell you, you're right, it is my fault. And you would quiver and shit your pants because you're just in the presence of him. But,
yeah. I mean, yeah. If you want to keep going back into the game, I think the next drive, nothing really happens. We kind of fizzled out. We got pressure on a 3rd and long, and Spencer throws one in the stands. Punt. And then, you know, Michigan, kudos to them, good game plan. Picking on a young corner, get him on a trick play, 75-yard touchdown, and now the air is kind of really taken out of the Iowa sideline, out of their fans.
Great play call by them.
Yeah, great play call. Caught a young guy sleeping. It's honestly, from a defensive back's perspective, it's a tough one. It gets a lot of people, and it's gotten us in the past before too.
Not only does it get a lot of people, but if you take into account what had just happened, right? Jermari just let that guy run down the sideline on him, lost outside contain. And so now Jermari, as a young guy, his heart's racing. Like, I have to be on my shit, like even more than I was before. And so he's playing hard as hell, trying to cover. Oh shit. Here comes the run. I got a run support. It goes right behind him. First play of the drive.
I mean, and you know, they also set it up in the first play of the game. They ran a little bubble screen.
Yep. Kinda, yep. You know, same thing.
On 1st and 10 and boom. So you think that's in the back of your mind. It's like, oh, another one, got to go get it. And, I mean, the running back threw a beautiful football, too. Caught him in stride.
Unbelievable pass right. by that guy.
Yeah. So usually if you're just anywhere near the receiver, you've stopped the play. But they executed it to perfection. Sometimes you just got to give the other coaches and the other team some credit.
Yeah, let's
call great execution.
And I'm glad that Drake brought that up, too. Michigan 2021, better football team than Iowa 2021. That's just what it is.
Yeah, it is. And I'll keep saying this, though, man. This could have been a completely different football.
Could have been different.
You look at the very next drive. We drive it down to, I think, like the 5-yard line.
Yep. And this is where people, I think, started to get pissed because, again,
it's third and five. We call basically a one-man route. And it's the same route that we won Iowa State 2017 with. Amir does a little in and out for a touchdown. We do it with Keaton Johnson from the 5-yard line. I don't think he runs a very good route. We don't throw a good ball.
Spencer throws a bad ball. Yeah. Bad ball.
And we got to settle for a field goal.
And let's talk about that.
At some point, you just got to hope that you guys can make plays. And we just don't make the play there.
Yeah.
Pick the field goal. It's 14-3. And, you know, kind of things settled down. Defense started playing really good in the second half. Torrey Taylor kept pinning him inside. And this is kind of where it kind of got frustrating for Iowa. We started the ball on the 45 a couple times. Couldn't make anything happen of it. You know, we get a punt return. We run 8 yards backwards. That's just something we can't do.
Just uncharacteristic special teams. Really bad. Really, really bad. I mean, Caleb
was disorganized from the punt return unit. We were flipping guys back and forth. It
was our worst special teams game by far all year. Not just from like a, did we make kicks? Did we not? Did we hit big punts? Did we not? And Torrey actually had a couple.
Torrey actually had a really good game.
A beautiful.
Outside of that, the special teams was horrid.
Horrid. Charlie was trying to make shit happen. And I understand the mindset. He's a renegade, dude. He's a baller. And he feels like, I got to make something happen. I'm the one who people are looking at to make something happen. But against a team like Michigan, who has athletes across the board, this isn't Illinois, right? We can't. And it's the Big Ten Championship. And they're keyed up, man. And so he runs backwards on two punt returns. The Kevin mentioned the punt return unit in front of him. They looked like, I'm not sure what the game plan was, but we're literally flopping sides, which is not what you should do in a punt return situation. Because there's not enough time. And then obviously Caleb missed that kick, which is a make 99 out of 100 times. So,
yeah. You know, we were able to keep them pinned down for a couple ones. They get out after the third time we pinned them in there and kind of lose the field position advantage and kind of just end the half like that, 14-3. And we get the ball coming out. I think we get one first down, maybe two, fizzles out, punts, and Michigan goes down, scores a touchdown. So that was like really the first time they put a drive together on us.
Long sustained drive.
I think that's at the point where we put Padilla in. And, you know, here's a debate too. Padilla or Petrus? I'll go to my grave saying with a clean pocket, Petrus is unequivocally better.
Agreed.
But, you know, we're in a situation. It's now 21-3. We have no run game. They don't respect the play action. We have to be in drop back pass mode, which is just so unideal for our offensive line versus their defensive line. It kind of puts our offense in a bad spot and our team in a bad spot. You know.
Oh, at this point, our team is fucked because we're not built like this. Right.
You know, and lucky for us, man, we actually put a drive together.
Yeah.
Actually, most, you know, we get to march down the field a little bit, a couple of nifty run plays.
Couple good play calls in there, huh? Oh, Brian sucked,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, and we get down to the 9-yard line, and I actually think Brian calls a good play. It's the Dallas Clark play.
And people thought this play was horrible.
Horrible because the tight end got caught up by a defensive lineman.
Yep.
He doesn't get guarded by a lot of
people. You're saying we execution, Kevin?
I don't know. Is execution or they just got lucky? The defense end runs straight into our tight end. He's hung up. Padilla has nowhere else to go with the ball.
Yeah.
And it's at that point, you know,
which if he doesn't get hung up, he's
we gotta go for touchdowns. And yeah, you know, it's just it didn't happen. The play before that, honestly, yeah, this is literally where I'm at watching the game right now. I thought he called a really good play call. It was one of those kind of pick routes.
Yep.
Laporta's running a little out route. Getting a slant out of the receiver. Receiver doesn't move up the field enough to get a pick on the guy, and the guy makes a tackle.
Kevin, you just that's nonsense.
I mean, it's a young receiver. that's something that kind of takes a little bit of time to get a feel of how much you got to press up the field to get in that other defender's way. It's not something you're going to be good at coming out of high school.
Yeah.
It's something that's going to take time. We got young playmakers, and that's just something we don't execute on. So
nonsense from Kevin there saying that it was execution and not play calls.
Yeah. So, I mean, any one of these drives gets in the end zone somehow, and it's 21-10 at this point.
21-10.
Say we make that field goal, it's 21-13. It's one possession game. Say we don't, you know, Jack Campbell's in the right gap like he is 95% of the time. You know, that long touchdown doesn't happen. There's just so many ways this is a different football game. But after we get stopped on that, you know, it's a minute 50 left in the fourth quarter, in the third quarter. We're down 21-3. And I just look at Kluve like, Michigan's just going to start leaning on us.
That was it. And not like that's a hard, you know, assumption there. What do you know? The next, I don't know, three plays to start their drive, it's just their offensive linemen forward lean. I mean, they're almost falling over in their stances because they're all just so, they're going so far north and south, and it's just 5 yard run, 8 yard run, 3 yard run.
Yeah. And that, like I said, you know, that starts to wear on a defense, and it's demoralizing when your offense can't put up points on the board.
And this is where the defense gets tired, and it's game over because the offense has not been able to counter enough. The defense is giving everything they've had. They played an incredible first half. We should be in this game, and it's just, we got broke. And this is a little disappointing. I'm not going to say the guys quit. I'm not going to say I want to be respectful of the guys because I know for a fact that a lot of them were, just pouring their hearts out. And it probably is just the fan side of me and everybody else who watched that game. But it looked like, man, we just let ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, the life got taken out of the sideline, out of our fans. You know, there's no energy on the Iowa side. There's no momentum.
There wasn't a lot of fight.
You know, as a player, this is how I kind of put it. Every play, you're still playing your hardest, but you know, like, hey, we're not going to win this game.
Yeah.
And it was kind of at that point in the fourth quarter. Yeah, guys are still out there playing hard, giving effort, but it's just kind of what you know. It's like, you know, we're not winning this football game.
Yeah. Yeah, we got – and the fourth quarter was ugly. We got bitched around. And – Dredge, and I'm surprised that Drake stayed as long as he did, man. I really was.
I mean, Drake, you left right after the block punt?
Yeah, I left right after I watched us get a punt stuffed up our ass. That was
After we went out on downs, our defense held them. Then we couldn't make anything happen. That's when the block punt, our offense gets the ball back, doesn't make anything happen. Block punt, they've been coming after it all game. I think they kind of are. Our punt protection does have a weakness. I think they kind of found it.
Yep.
Maybe we'll go into it at some point, but I'm not going to go into it right now.
And but Drake,
they found out how to get pressure on our punt. And they finally got to one. So
they had it figured out in 2016 too. We had all the pressure on God's green earth. We just went to missile punt.
It's true.
So, I mean, it's 21-3. We just got a punt blocked. It's on our own 35 yard line. Defense has to trot back out there, and they score a touchdown. It's 28-3, game's over.
And, you know, I don't know. Again, this is all because, you know, we're walking to the door and, like, Michigan's still bringing the heat. Like, and they score two more touchdowns. And it was, like, almost disrespectful, but I couldn't even stand there and be like, well, this is bullshit because we were letting
it Kluve?
Right up to about 2 minutes left. And is when we walked out the door. We were walking a few minutes before that, but it was.
I was walking out the door as they scored their second to last touchdown. So I was going to look to see that what happened on that game, but didn't quite get to it before this podcast. I left early because I was liable to fight someone in the stands.
And I think that was what Drake was too. Is he either going to put his fist through the?
No, I was all right, man. I was just disappointed. I was tired of watching the bullshit. Just disappointed, you know. We showed up. We had a lot of fight in the beginning, and then clock struck midnight.
We played the game 10 times. I think, you know, maybe we get blown out twice. I think we win twice, and I think the other games are good matchups.
I was gonna say I saw a lot of like, well, we were a 10-point dog, but I didn't expect this. What did we say at lunch? Who asked us or somewhere? Somebody asked us.
No, I just said like, hey, dog. This game's.
going to go one of two ways.
Yeah, it's like it's going to be a close game or we're going to get the shit knocked out.
So I'm not even going to say that we didn't expect that because, again, if you run it,
it was always a possibility that this happened.
If you run it 10 times, the way that Michigan finished the season and the way that Iowa is kind of built, like Kevin said, once or twice out of 10 times, this is the result. And I think, you know, that 20% hit. I'm not fully surprised.
You know, it's that's the way it went because of how the first quarter went.
Yep. That stuff adds.
That first drive for the Hawks goes differently. I firmly believe it's a different football game. You know, we let up the two longest plays of our defense gave up all year in the first quarter.
Yep. I do want to say this, the tunnel walk and the savages, the army who had the flag right next to the tunnel, that about made us three cry up in section 613.
I was completely losing my mind because we got to look directly at it every single time it was up there. Yep. We had the perfect view and the pictures that got taken of it. And like right as the guys were coming out of the tunnel swarming, the Hawks by a Million flag was right there. Like that is just unbeatable.
Unbelievable. And that was really cool. And I saw a few others in the stadium as well. There were two boxes on the Iowa sideline towards the Michigan end zone, like two boxes, four spaces from each other, both had it plastered outside their window. Really, really cool to see those in the stadium. And again, back to the meetup, I want to throw a shout out to Mike Moran, who actually hooked my brother up with better tickets than I bought him. So thanks, guy. You're part of the walk-on army and a legend. And he also bought me a shot mid radio show, which it wasn't that bad. I slammed that down. And then shout out to our boys. This is sort of surreal. LaShawn, big boy, who's been on the show multiple times. John Kenny, David Tan, and Riley McCarron made a stop by the meetup as well, which was, I don't know. That is really cool to see former teammates and friends come and support you. That's really cool. So,
yeah. I mean, it was a really cool day, and I just want to thank all the fans that made it out there to Indianapolis. You know, we knew we were dogs going into that game, but you guys still came and showed up, and that was awesome to see. And I hope that we get a good contingent heading down to Orlando January 1st. Cause these boys, you know, disappointing last game, but these guys have still had an incredible season. 10-3 is still an incredible season with a chance to get an 11 wins. That's not something that happens very often. Yep. Look at how many teams across the country are going to have 10 or 11 wins at the end of the year. You're going to be able to count probably on one or two hands.
There's actually a lot this year. There was like going into this weekend, there was like 16 teams with 10 wins or more. But it's not a lot. It's not a lot compared to 130. And again, this is the end of this episode and kind of the recap of the weekend. But we'll talk about sort of, you know, the expectations of this team, Kev. We always come back to it, over under 8.5 wins. Should we be happy? Should we not be happy? That's a big, I know for you all sitting out there, it's like, this is the worst you could ever feel at 10-3, you know, but
I mean, here's a question for you. This is not for us to answer. This is for the Hawk fans after to answer. Which loss felt worse, 2015 or this one?
They can answer that. Yeah, I know that. I know this.
That some bitch ain't close.
I know this. I'll go to the 21. I'll play for the 21 team any day, boys. Any day. That's it. We've got a few other things. We're going to bring Deuce Hogan's mom on the podcast on Thursday.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm kidding. I had to flip the tides around here, man. Yeah. We'll have some more topics. Obviously there's no game to preview for the first time in 13 weeks. So that's a little different, but thank you guys for joining us on 274. And again, thank you for this weekend. We plan on doing some more of that because that was truly some Iowa just family army shit. And it was amazing. So thank you guys. We'll be back again. This episode came out on a weird day. The next one might come out on a weird day. Who knows?
But guess what? It's Dickhead Tuesday tomorrow, baby. And we're back at it like a crack.
Let's go. Patreon.com/washupwalkons. See you next time. Peace.